So, dear Vaishnavas, what a wonderful celebration we've had all morning. Everybody has been invited. We've honored everybody. And as if by chance, as if by the Lord's grace, we are able to welcome the Holiness Sri Ramaswamy into our new home. Except that the couple have one last task. Jan Kumari, may I ask you please stand?
Where's she gone?
And she's hiding. They're a little bit anxious about this next step. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand for the offering of a home?
You realize I'm a Jewish Brahmin.
Well, this is Stanmore. Okay, after me. Dear Shri Ram Swami Maharaj.
Dear Shri Ram Swami Maharaj.
Just unless you're giving your house, let them share.
I'm doing the rounds after this one.
Today, on the seventh day of Ashwin.
On this day.
Before the holy month of Kartik. We make you a great sacrifice. This house at number 42 Pangbourne Drive. Stanmore.
Middlesex.
We now offer at your feet.
We divest ourselves of this property.
It is yours to do with as you wish. It is a small home. Indeed, it is not even a home yet. But we give it to you. With love and devotion. Give Maharaj the keys. Maharaj,
thank you.
You can be seated and make them sweat a little bit.
So much. She put the back door as well.
It's the front door, back door, and the cars.
This is our
please be seated.
Our tradition. After taking away the earth from the Kshatriyas, because there was no one left to take it away from, Lord Parashuram then gave it to the Brahmins. Lord Ramachandra did the same thing, that he gave the entire earth to the Brahmins, along with his palace, jewelry, everything, and they returned it. Because our principle is Nirmama Mohanaji Dasanga Dosa, nothing is mine. So at least symbolically, if that's there. And then thereafter, if we actually live like that, third canto, chapter 31. Lord Kapila Dev gives a real graphic description. Well, this goes actually, this is for the ladies, but it works equally well for men. And let's see if I can find the verse. It's Lord Kapila Dev says that one should live in this world with a very pessimistic attitude. I fit great into that. And if you can't find it, it's all right. So. But you should look it up, one of the last concluding verses of that chapter really explains how one should see family members, one's home, with it. One has this my mentality is actually the Lord's arrangement for one's death. But the only way to see it is that actually it's not mine, that everything is Krishna's. So since I sort of left the UK some years ago, I should just give this back to you. and when we visit, I just visited another home, then we'll come and visit. In the meantime, you can use the keys, but the condition has to be that everything that goes here is done in pure Krishna consciousness, Shuddha Bhakti. That's how Shuddha Prabhupada envisaged being ideal householders. We have a house. Ideal householders. Kripamoyam Gucharatama. And so many others who are here. Sitaram and so on. I'm sorry we got here a little late. We were at another housekeeping ceremony. also very nice. So I'll just end. I'm psychologically intimidated by seeing the prasadam containers out there. And between me and them, all these hungry devotees doing swaha all this time. Okay, you got a 10th canto,
and then you just
chapter 2.
Yeah.
Excuse me, 10th canto, chapter 9.
Oh.
10th canto, chapter 9. And,
can you set it?
And can you just give me one of those books? We're coming up to the month of Kartik, and during the month of Kartik we always sing Sri Damodarashtakam and we worship Radha Damodar. Actually worship Yashoda Damodar, but we say with Radha Damodar Ki Jai. And we sing this, I don't know, some aspiring poet's translation of the Damodarashtakam, which just goes on and on and on, and isn't even necessarily accurate from the Sanskrit point of view. Oh yeah, I heard there are 40 kids here as well.
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty quiet for 40 kids. Yesterday, I gave a lengthy talk at Soha Street just about the introduction and the context. Of course, you've all participated in this Urjavrata, month of Damodar, and you know the pastime. I wrote this book. It was planned quite some time ago. In fact, I had the at that time, that was 1998. And at that time, Gopi Pranadam Prabhu used to do the Sanskrit translations for me. So he did it also for this book. I admitted yesterday to the devotees in Silver Street that at the end, I gave him £100, actually, for a lot of work. He always, of course, he was Srila Prabhupada's Sanskritist, and he was the best. Very, very faithful to Prabhupada's way of translation. And I had everything that he gave me on cassette. That was supposed to be a little problem when cassette recorders no longer were in existence. But anyway, we had it all transcribed. And recently, then, I had the opportunity to write this book. And the book, I mean, the subject matter is special. It's not special because I happened to write it. If someone else written it, it would probably be much, much more special. But it's very special because there's a blessing that when you read this pastime covers the latter part of chapter 8, 9, 10, and the beginning chart of chapter 11 of the 10th canto. And in the end of the 8th chapter, then Drona and Dara, who are supposedly the parents of Krishna and Balaram, of course they're not, or Krishna's parents are Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. But they ask for this benediction, that we want the Lord as our son, and whoever hears of his childhood pastimes will become free from all material contaminations and will attain the perfection of life. And Lord Brahma says, so be it. Of course, later on, Acharyas, for instance, Jiva Goswami says that this is actually just Shukadeva Goswami giving some of the externals of the situation. Lord Brahma is not in a position to benedict anybody with Krishna prema, because this type of prema he doesn't have. So he can't give something he doesn't have. And neither can he give anyone the benediction to become Krishna's parents, because Krishna already has parents. But Drona and Dara are parents in the sense that they're the celestial expansions of Krishna's eternal parents, Nanda and Yashoda. The fact remains that the pastime is very special. It's special in terms of its content, it's special in its effect. It is also the introduction of actually the real purpose of Srimad, the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and Lord Chaitanya's mission. Anarpitam charim chirat karinava tirna kalo samarpaitam anutochara svabhaktirasam shriyam. That this anutojvala bhakti ras, this type of extraordinary bhakti or devotion, which is different than that which had been mentioned up to now, whether it's the Pandavas in the first canto, or Lord Brahma in the second canto, Lord Kapila Dev in the third canto, Prithu Maharaj in the fourth canto, and so on, the Sringa Dev and so on. This is something different. This is a different type of Krishna consciousness. And the pastime is spoken in response to Parikshit Maharaj's question of, well, how did Mother Yashoda and how did Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj become Krishna's parents, and where did they get this type of special affection? Anyway, for those of you who were there last night, just a little repetitive, when this is Krishna's mouth. Mother Yashoda looked into Krishna's mouth the second time, and she became overwhelmed that, well, he's the whole universe is within his mouth. Who is he? But as Prabhupada called it, high philosophical thinking lasted only for a little while, but ultimately the fact that Krishna was her child, that Krishna was wanting motherly attention, overwhelmed Mother Yashoda, and he may be my son, he may be God, but he's my son. So it's almost like your son or your husband may be an engineer, but that's a real detail. The real thing is that he happens to be my husband or my wife. And Parikshit Maharaj is tuned in. He's the Pandava's grandson. He's the son of Uttara, who an associate of Krishna. And of course, we'll know how tuned he is in later on when he speaks Bihar Bhagavatamrita, which is actually sort of the essence of the Bhagavatam, and speaks the contents of the Bhagavatam much more explicitly than actually Parikshit Maharaj hears it from Shukadeva Goswami. Reason being is the audience is much more qualified. And it's a good thing for ladies to make the statement that all these men who were there in Naimisharanya, they were not actually really qualified, they weren't all fully qualified to really hear the real message of Bhagavatam as much as Parikshit Maharaj's mother was, just one lady. She could, she understood, she said, this is, from what I can understand, that there's a special type of devotional service that the Brijvasis have, and if they practice this, there must be a type of special place where this is being practiced. And where is that? It can't be in Vaikuntha. So where is it, aside from it having transpired here on this planet? And so, seems like Parikshit Maharaj had some time before the snake bird came, and so he narrated that Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and I forget why I brought that up. Oh yes, he's in the know. He knows, but many of these sages are, they're gyanis, they're yogis, they're materialists, they're karmakandis, there are so many things, and amongst them there are also pure devotees. But generally, you have to speak to the lowest common denominator so that everyone will understand. And people who have qualification, they'll extract the essence. And those who don't, they'll understand what they have the adhikar to understand. And but Parikshit Maharaj wanted to highlight that I've been listening, and 3 days have gone by out of the 7 days that he has left to live of Shukadeva Goswami's narration. And this then becomes a real introduction. It introduces the real purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is to elaborate on spontaneous loving devotion of the residents of Vrindavan and those residents that Krishna brought here to this planet. And in order to highlight how powerful it is, then Shukadeva Goswami speaks this story, which was known. Parikshit Maharaj knew it already, because he'd already heard it. It happened about 125 years of Krishna's life, and Parikshit Maharaj is, sometimes Prabhupada says 24 years old, 25 years old, so 150 years have gone by. He's heard it from others. They spoke about these. But still, it's being Shukadeva Goswami speaks again. And then let me just read the verse, although I could read it out of the book. Well, I could use it out of my phone as well. Let's see. And here we are.
Turn pages.
Ekada, yes. How do you scroll it?
You just tap on the side.
Oh, tap on the side. So it starts just like all books start. I'm going in the wrong direction. Okay, you can see I've never used one of these here. There's nothing like a book. There's nothing like books. And when there's a electromagnetic pulse in the sun and all your electronic gadgets go, we'll still be able to read. If we haven't gone blind. Shukadeva Goswami says, Sri Shukavacha Ekada. Ekada means once upon a time. Ekada grihada dashishu yashoda nanda grihani karmantarandi yuktashu nirmananta svayambhati yani hagitani tadbala charitani chattati nirmantane kali svaranti tani agayata. I spoke on these. The translation is as follows. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, one day When Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Then he says, verse 3, dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk, her face with its very beautiful eyebrows was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. I read up to this for yesterday, it's so sweet. Then he says, Tam samya kama ashadya matnantim jananim hari krihitva dari montanam nyashid hat pritim avahan. Unusual words. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breasts, appeared before him. And in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Krishna was asleep. Mother Yashoda is in her apartment. It's a very beautiful, spacious apartment. I'm just thinking, you get some idea of it if you go to Chaurasikamba or Nanda Bhavan in Gokula, then that building contains the pillars of the original house. Although, as I mentioned yesterday, it's not the original place. According to the governor of UP, Gross or Mathura in that district, Aurangzeb had dismantled the original house of Nanda Maharaj, moved it off the hill where it was to another place where it is right now, and it was used as a mosque in his time. Anyway, but still the pillars are the same pillars, and the pundits over there, although they're quite obnoxious, they're all many of the pundits in Vrindavan obnoxious, and it doesn't make for pleasant parikrama. When I was just in Tirupati, the sort of real stark difference, I went to not just to Balaji, but other temples that the TTD manage, and a whole different experience. Maybe one day when Indian culture and tourist ministry get wind of the fact that people would feel a lot more comfortable if they're not being accosted every time they step into a sacred site, they'll do something. But anyway, as Shastra says, what does Shastra say? Rakshasim. Ashitya Brahmamri. In Kali Yuga, the Rakshasas take birth in the family of Brahmanas. Brahmins don't like to hear that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Jiva Dharma, there's this debate going on between a Brahmin and the Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava quotes this verse. And he said, do you have to quote that nasty verse? It seems like Brahmins and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time didn't like to hear it either. So Mother Yashoda is churning butter, and when one reads actually the commentaries of the Acharyas, then it becomes clear that Shukadeva Goswami is a little rushed. He's speaking in sutras, because for instance right in the beginning it says, for instance, pages move a lot faster than this. It says, one day Mother Yashoda saw that all the household, the maidservants were engaged in household affairs. She doesn't even say that she's sleeping. She's with her son in bed. She has to get up. She bathes. She dresses. She ornaments herself. But immediately she saw that the maidservants weren't there. The reason maidservants were there is it's Deepavali. So it's Diwali day, and everyone's busy decorating getting ready. So Mother Yashoda is only there, and she only has one assistant, one servant to help her. So Shukadeva Goswami has got, he's limited as to what he's able to say. And so here, same thing. Krishna was also sleeping, and Mother Yashoda got up, and she started churning, and he was still sleeping. And while she was churning, then this is a very beautiful poetry from Shukadeva Goswami. Well, I wouldn't last very long with one of these things. Yani yani gitani tadbala charitani cha dadhi nirmantane kale smaranti yani agayata. And she's churning, and while she's churning, she's composing songs about Krishna. I'm not going to read, but Jiva Goswami, in his Gopal Champu, he writes, this is the song that she was singing. Shukadeva Goswami doesn't say what the song is. Jiva Goswami says. It's just like when they're doing Giriraj Parikrama. Then he also says, this is the song that you sing when we do Govardhan Parikrama. Giri Pujena Vihitayena. And I don't know of anyone else who actually writes the actual text of these songs. So she's singing, and when she's singing these songs, she becomes absorbed. We were sort of ended up yesterday in what Mother Yashoda's absorption is all about, because when she, and they're self-composed songs, Prabhupada explains, that the Vaisis would compose songs, spontaneously compose songs about Krishna, about his exploits, about his disposing of demons. It's quite interesting that even they would say those things, although obviously they were praiseworthy in the sense that shows how heroic Krishna is. But on the other side, they don't like to hear about Krishna being attacked by demoniac elements. But Mother Yashoda is singing about that, and she talks about, you're such a rascal, you get into all these arguments with the gopis. I just have to say, that's the last line. It's a very nice refrain. And the last line is, the introduction. The refrain, I won't read the Sanskrit, is, O Tilak, ornament of Gokula king's dynasty, pouring the light in their eyes, you bring endless joy to the pious folk of Raj. Although a handsome protector of calves, you are a greedy liar when jousting in a playful quarrel with the elder gopis, because he's stealing all of their milk products and so on. And so he gets into all of these arguments, and Mother Yashoda is absorbed. She's absorbed in that kirtan, and that absorption becomes very deep. So it becomes deep to the extent that she's, if you want to open the window and get some more air. Okay, since the sun is shining in here. Beautiful weather. English weather is actually very nice, you know. Just in case someone was unappreciative. And I was telling Shabihar when I came, every time I come back to the UK, I think, yeah, this is my home. Don't tell the Hungarians. I relate better to these people than I do with descendants of Attila. And she becomes so absorbed, is she's no longer even churning, although it says that she's churning, but the churning goes on automatically. The churn knows what to do, the churning rod knows what to do, the churning rope knows what to do. They're conscious. And so not only she becomes unaware of the churning, but she forgets about Krishna. laying on the bed. And of course, there's this beautiful description. Srila Prabhupada talks about this description. He says one should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda and maternal affection for Krishna. Beautiful description of her. And then, of course, Krishna gets up. And when children get up, when babies get up, so he's 3 years old, and when babies get up, they want their mother, and they want to eat. And Krishna wants the same thing. The Mother Yashoda doesn't hear any of those things because she's so absorbed in her meditation. And in that meditation, of course, Krishna's there. So it's not that she's missing Krishna, because Krishna's in her meditation. And although Krishna's also by her side, but they're both one and different. Krishna's in both places. So here, in order to increase her training, he called hold of the churning rod to stop her from churning. And ultimately, although it's quite interesting that the Mother Yashoda's absorption or meditation becomes so deep that even Krishna loses actually focus on where he is. Is he actually standing beside her in his home, or is he actually in her meditation? Of course, he's in both places, but because of Yashoda's very deep, loving attention, focus, meditation, Krishna becomes more drawn into being in her meditation. So he grabs hold of the churning rod, but there's a pause, because he's also lost. He's also lost in her sankirtan. And that's Mother Yashoda gives a little example of how one is meant to be absorbed in chanting. But ultimately, the pastime has to go on. So gradually, Mother Yashoda comes out of this deep meditation, and she becomes aware, here's my son. So Mother Yashoda, then Shukadeva Goswami says, embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to, she lifted him. She's sitting on a chokhi, so she's lower, she's low down, but still, she lifted him up, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breasts. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking milk of his mother's breast. I'll just read Srila Prabhupada's purport. You have to know Srila Prabhupada is chapter 9, 10, 11, 12. Srila Prabhupada, this is like somewhere around September of 1977, and Prabhupada is laying down. He's laying down, that which will be his deathbed, and he's dictating. And Prabhupada's saying, he's saying things that he realizes these are going to be actually his last words, and his last words, because Prabhupada goes as far as chapter 14. So these are going to be his last words. So let's see what Srila Prabhupada said. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking, and Srila Prabhupada, it's very interesting. You know, Prabhupada did his translations. He really liked Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries. They're not the most extensive. Sanatana Goswami's is the most extensive, on 10th canto. Vishwanath gives throughout the whole of the Bhagavatam. When it came to these last months, Prabhupada just had Pradyumna just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He didn't hear anyone else's. It was only Vishwanath. So he would just hear what Vishwanath would say, and then Prabhupada would comment. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of the breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesham satat yuktanam bharitam priti purvakam vidani bhukti yuktam jena mamu bhayantiti. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. Prabhupada's summarizing, but this becomes a really extensive argument that acharyas deal with, because a vad or an accusation comes up that how can Yashoda put Krishna down, make him cry, just for some boiling milk, especially when you've got 900,000 cows. A little boiling milk is not the end of the world. So it puts into question the nature of her devotion or the nature of her love, or how is this the right thing to do? Since I started that, I'll come back to the first part of the verse, which is Mother Yashoda looking at Krishna's face, looking at Krishna's beauty. And it's a very important thing. Here Srila Prabhupada really derives the essence. Well, what happens when you've got to do two things in Krishna consciousness and you can't do them both? You have to take a choice. So, Tesham Sattata Yuktana Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Well, if you're Krishna conscious enough, then Krishna will tell you what to do. So it's very interesting here that Krishna is saying, how can you leave me for that milk? But at the same time, he's telling her what to do. Go attend to the milk. So Krishna can be telling you more than one thing at a time. But Mother, and the answer in brief is that service to Krishna and service to things that are in relationship to Krishna, to dhyanam samarjanam, are more important than direct service to Krishna. So it was more important to attend to the milk than to attend to Krishna, because the milk is meant for Krishna. So aradhanam sarveshnam vishnu aradhanam param tadiyanam. But more important than worshipping the Lord is actually worshipping those things that are in relationship to the Lord. And that generally refers to devotees. In this case, the milk is also conscious, so it's boiling over. Because if it didn't boil over, you wouldn't have this whole pastime taking place. So it's also boiling over. And attending to service to Krishna's servants is one of the reasons why it was more important for Mother Yashoda to go. And then, of course, the other is that, yes, that's also for Krishna. With that milk, and this is half the milk. Milk comes every day to Mother Yashoda, and I won't mention the cows and the specialty of the cows, as well as the grass that they graze on, but the very special milk that comes selected from the 900,000 cows, and that milk comes to Mother Yashoda, and it's split in half. Half of it gets made into milk products, and the other half is then made into yogurt, that's made and later on churned into ghee and butter. And that's here we're seeing that half, which is on the fire. And what the purpose was, she was making something. And of course, it's quite interesting that she's a queen, and she's cooking. One of the reasons she's cooking is that many of the other maid servants are attending to the Diwali festival. But as it turns out, this is not the only time that she does it. And one of the reasons is, ironically, is that some of these maid servants tend to burn the milk. So just, it happens also with liberated souls. And she They're these silly girls, so they don't know how to make properly, burn the milk, and they're doing something wrong, because although the best milk comes to this house and it gets prepared in the most elaborate way, still Krishna's going to steal elsewhere. And it must be because it's better. But at least she has this psychological trauma that is the food that I prepare not good enough for my son? Why does he have to steal? And of course, the answer is not that the quality of the food is not good, because it's the best. And it's the best because Mother Yashoda is prema. And of course, now Mother Yashoda is the one who's in charge of the kitchen. Rohini's in charge of the kitchen. That's all right, because she loves Krishna as much as, not as much as Mother Yashoda, but she comes close, and she loves Krishna more than she loves her own son. She loves him more than she loves Balaram. And when you cook, everyone knows, why do children like to go eat at their parents' home? Because the affection of the mother is also in the cooking. So love gets cooked into the cooking, and especially that's so in the transcendental sphere. Why does Krishna go? Because aside from the love, there's something that he can't get at home, and he can't get the extraordinary taste of stolen products. Because he steals something, that becomes... So the food has different types of additional spicing that, aside from the turmeric and salt and hing and everything else, that there are other things that go along. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannanda Pandit, he got him really worked up and angry. And until finally Jagannanda Pandit was a very good cook. And then when Jagannanda Pandit cooked in this angry mood, Lord Chaitanya said, cooking by an angry cook always tastes very good. So these things are there, you can get that taste. And of course Krishna also wanted to fulfill the desires of all of those other mothers, which is not, I don't know, I guess maybe mothers here, if they want to volunteer to say whether mothers think like that I wish that someone else's son was my son, not my own son. I don't know if you think like that. But that's how they think. They all think that, why could Krishna be my son? Why Yashoda's son? And even later on, not only that, but their relationship with their son is based on the fact that their son has a relationship with Krishna. I love my son because he's Krishna's friend. Not because he's my son. So that's Krishna consciousness. Because remember, this is a spiritual world, it's a spiritual realm. Everything happens because it's centered around Krishna. And because their sons love Krishna, or their daughters are connected to Krishna, therefore they love them. And of course, Krishna one day will satisfy their desire. The adventure of Agasura takes place, at least the Brahma Vimohana Lila. And for 1 year, Krishna's going to be their son. You have to take it up with Krishna why he didn't become their daughter. He didn't become the gopis, but he came the gopas. And some people really go on. Go on means give a very, very lengthy explanation. Sanatana Goswami's explanations tend to be the longest, and Jiva Goswami is the one who really gets into the different types of philosophical analysis, especially when it comes to these type of philosophical points. Because remember, although this is a nice, very sweet pastime, it's actually an elaboration on Vedanta Sutra. Subhasyanam, Brahma Sutranam. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates on philosophical statements that are there in Vedanta Sutra. The correlation of the two, that would be a wonderful adventure for some very, very learned scholar who's also very advanced spiritually, who can correlate both Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedanta Sutra and the philosophical points of Vedanta Sutra with the actual pastimes and, of course, the philosophical elaborations that are there in the Bhagavatam. So this thing, Tadiyanam Samartanam, that for Krishna, although he may cry, and not only cry, but he's going to throw a temper tantrum in which he plasters the whole apartment with what's in the... Whoops. I'm going to have to look this up again. What's in the... churn, which is very interesting, is that some acharyas say there's nothing in it. Someone said that there is actually yogurt within. But generally the idea is that there is, and that Krishna doesn't just eat. He just goes wild with the yogurt. And not only that, but then of course he goes to the storeroom. And to get into the storeroom, he has to get the keys to the storeroom. The storeroom isn't just like open, and the keys are in Mother Yashoda's bedroom is here, behind the bedroom. It's her dressing room, and behind the dressing room is the bathroom, so they're hidden in the dressing room. They're not hidden, but keeps them in the dressing room. So, stealing from other people, that Krishna's done, but stealing from his mother, he's never done before. So really crossing into a new threshold, into a new realm, when he actually takes his mother's key and he opens that. And anyway, we get to that a little later. I don't know if we get to it here today. And Krishna makes a mess all over the place, which, ironically, Mother Yashoda doesn't immediately get upset about. She immediately starts to think, it's amazing how clever he is. For a three-year-old, causes all this mess. On top of that, he breaks the pot and simultaneously disappears, all without me even noticing. And of course, it's not explicit here in Sukadeva Goswami's words, but all the things that Krishna's doing and all she's doing is taking off a pot off of the stove, there's a time lag that's taking place. But here, the first thing, Mother Yashoda embraces Krishna. Krishna's there, holding on to the rod, and is pulling on to her sari. She's wearing a very beautiful, it's a saffron yellow sari. And some say it's made of silk, some say it's made of jute fiber, or some other, but it's very good. She's a queen, so it's not an ordinary sari. But and that's what she's dressed in all day long, and she lifts him up and puts Krishna on her lap, and she looks at Krishna because Krishna is so attractive, and Mother Yashoda can't get enough of seeing the beauty of Krishna's face. And remember, she just came out of one trance, and she came out of a certain trance of ecstasy in which she was just absorbed in Krishna's lila. And that still has, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaviraj Goswami explains how Lord Chaitanya is in three states of consciousness, external, internal, and mixed, internal, external, where he's still somewhat connected with the internal world, or the effects of ecstasy still linger, and that although he's connected with the outside world, but he can't fully connect. So Mother Yashoda is there, and she sees Krishna, and she sees Krishna's beauty. And in the same way that she forgot what she was doing before, she forgets what he wants. Like he wants to eat, he wants to drink her breast milk. But she becomes so overwhelmed with Krishna's beauty that in the same way that she attends to the milk, she also similarly just, she forgets. She just becomes mesmerized
as to how extraordinarily beautiful Krishna is. Krishna's beauty has two different perspectives. You see Krishna as, we're on time, 2 o'clock for prasadam, so I know I'll stop way in advance. So. English weather, the sun went away. It's drizzling. One is the beauty that Krishna has as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the other beauty that Krishna has when Krishna is your son, or Krishna is your friend, or Krishna is your beloved, Krishna is your lover, or Krishna is your master in Vrindavan. And that's a different type of beauty. The beauty of Krishna as Supreme Personality, Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of the Lord's beauty. Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna is, Lord Narayan is, appears very similar to Lord Krishna. His complexion is very much the same. That his bodily features are very same. His facial features are very similar. But of course, he doesn't play the flute. Although, in Brihadbhagavatam Gita, he does play the flute. At one point, Gop Kumar, he's feeling so much separation from Gopal that Lord Narayan manifests a form of Krishna, and Lakshmi Devi becomes Srimati Radharani. The problem is that it's Lord Narayan with two arms holding the flute, and it's not the same Gopal. It's not the same Krishna that he sees when he's chanting his Gopal mantra. So that is Krishna in his mood of Aishwarya. And this other one is Krishna when his sweetness dominates, Madhurya. This word Madhurya seems like it's not necessarily a common phrase, or at least Kaviraj Goswami says, I call it Madhurya. I call it Madhurya Ras. But certainly in terms of Krishna's sweetness, the phrase was used, but in terms of the conjugal relationship, it isn't. It's called Madhurya Ras because it has the greatest abundance of sweetness in it. So I guess it's like a beautiful person. Nowadays you have actors or actresses who are very beautiful, and for everyone else, they who sees them on a movie screen, they look one way, but for their husbands and wives, at least with the ones that they have at the present moment before they get another one 3 years down the road, they look somewhat different because the relationship is different. This is not just some worshipable person or someone who I really look up to or admire and so on, but someone who I have a relationship with. So this sambandha. Sambandha meaning a relationship. He is my son. He's my friend. And when that relationship becomes the dominant feature, you see Krishna in a different way. Even though he may be God, but you see more of Krishna than what you see him when you see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that type of beauty is the type of beauty that Mother Yashoda sees. Particularly, she sees Krishna in his form as a little boy. The person who sees Krishna in all of his beauty are the gopis and Srimati Radharani. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Krishna's beauty is his most extraordinary quality. And of all the beautiful parts of Krishna's body, his face, the moon of his face, and his enigmatic smile are actually the chief. There's nothing to compare to those. So this concept, just like cooking with love, similarly, to appreciate Krishna's beauty, you have to have a certain type of relationship with him. You have a certain type of affection. And the more you love him, the more you see his beauty. Jidatamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamiyatam. And in terms of love, no one has love stronger than that, or more elevated than that of Mother Yashoda. So she looked at Krishna's face, and again she forgot what she was meant to do. And ecstatic symptom, which is there, which is prevailing in mothers, as the milk was flowing from her breasts, and then all of a sudden she saw, so she saw the milk. The setup is that the bedroom is here, and there's a big veranda, and the kitchen is here, and there's a big day room over here, you can say living room, and that's where the churn is set up. So from here she was watching the bed while she was still aware of it, and at the same time she's seeing what's going on in the kitchen. So she sees, not only hearing it, she's seeing that the milk is boiling over. Immediately puts Krishna down to take care of milk, although Krishna wasn't satisfied. And then what happens next? Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Yes, this here, and I won't really elaborate on that. This becomes another philosophical topic, philosophical subject. Is Krishna angry, or does he pretend to be angry? It's a very relevant thing, because if Krishna's only pretending to be angry, then actually his lila is like a drama. It's like an actor. So an actor really sort of feels and experiences what he's going through, but it's still not his life. He's not living it. The conclusion which all acharyas state is no, Krishna's not putting on a show. Krishna is not going to pretend to be afraid of Mother Yashoda. He's not running away from her thinking, yeah, this is the pastime that they're going to be talking about, and we're going to be here in Stanmore. Somewhere down the road, Sri Ramaraj is going to talk about it, so I've got to put on a good show. But Krishna's afraid. He is afraid. Just like children are afraid of their parents when they do the wrong thing, 100% Krishna's also afraid. He's also simultaneously being afraid, doing so many other things and aware of a lot of other things that's going on within the material world and the spiritual world. But at the same time, in order for him to be afraid, he's oblivious of everything else. And of course, that's where our minds sort of break down. We don't go into this realm of achinta beda beda tattva. And conceivably, in other words, Krishna knows nothing. All he knows is, my mother's got a stick in her hand. She never lifted a stick before. She's threatened her before, she's chastised her before, but she never lifted a stick. She's got a stick, and he's running. And Mahavishnu may be exhaling universes, Krishna couldn't care less. Because the only thing he's aware of is that his mother's got a stick in her hand. How can he not be aware of, he is Mahavishnu and he is exhaling you. Yeah, he's also aware of that, and he's aware of so many other things, but simultaneously he's unaware. So there's oneness and difference. We have experience of, you can be different from something, or you can be one with something, but not at the same time. But Krishna can. He can be completely oblivious to everything that's going on, and at the same time, he knows everything else that's going on. And both of those things happen, and that happens by his achintya shakti. He has this potency that makes the inconceivable possible. And things are, well, it's only inconceivable for us. Although it becomes obvious that some things are also inconceivable for Krishna at a certain stage. So, is Krishna angry? Yeah, he's really angry. He's not putting on a show. He's very, very angry. He's angry at his mother. And two kinds of anger come up in him. One is spiritual anger, which is the anger that we see in the Nishingadev, and the other is material anger, which is the anger that when Lord Shiva creates this Virabhadra, then Bhagavatam says this is the anger, material personified anger of the Supreme Lord. So both of these things are there in Krishna. He got very angry. And when you get angry, you do things you may later regret. And later on, he apologizes. I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore. So let me just conclude just with this one thing. When Krishna's lying in the bed, still, and we're going back, and he's watching his mother, Krishna's, although he's a three-year-old boy, but still, he knows everything that's going to go on. Yeah, today is this pastime. And then he forgets what this pastime is going to take place. And this pastime takes place for a very unique reason. This rope, or at least the beginning of the rope, the rope first came out of Mother Yashoda's braid. You know, sometimes ladies use very decorative braid. So this is silken, golden silk rope that's braided into her hair, and that's the first thing that she got her hands on. Of course, that wasn't enough. All the other ladies in Vrindavan had to give theirs, as well as all the churning ropes and the rope for tying cows, and still it wasn't enough. And still they couldn't actually really tie Krishna down. I was giving the example, what was happening before the rope? Oh yes, what is the rope? So, why is Krishna being tied down? A lot of other things going on. But this rope is Mother Yashoda's love. And Krishna has different experiences of loving exchanges with devotees. But on this day, Krishna wants to know what it's like to be actually tied down by his mother's love. He just doesn't want to be embraced. He gets embraced by his mother. She puts her arms around him, but then she lets go. She sits on her lap. But Krishna wants to know, what is it like to actually be fully tied down by my mother's love in such a way that I can't move? Of course, then he moves and he pulls the mortar. But he wants that type of feeling. And the rope is actually Mother Yashoda's love, because she's punishing him, not because she wants to get back at him. She's punishing him. And he asks, he says, would you do this to some of the other boys in the village? He says, no, they're my subjects. I wouldn't do it. And why are you doing it to me? Because you're my son. And I have to make an example of you for them. And if I don't do it, you're going to grow up to become a debauchee. Although, that's what ends up happening anyway. So I have to discipline you. It's my duty. And she does that out of love. And that rope it's not symbolic. It is. It's a rope form of love. It's the form in which Mother Yashoda's love takes for Krishna, and Krishna wants to be bound hand and foot. He wants to feel what that's like. And it's one of the wonderful things that acharyas reveal. And what Shukadeva Goswami couldn't say, they're saying. Therefore, they're also writing down. So this way, Krishna's pastime becomes manifest, and it goes on all day long. It goes on for one day, and then there's 3 days of until it actually really everything becomes resolved, because this starts sunrise, and it's only sunset that Nanda Maharaj returns. Nanda Maharaj has gone off. he's gone off to Jamuna, Bhatra, where the ritualistic Brahmins are actually preparing for worship of Indra Yagya, and Indra Puja is going on. This is the day they do Indra Puja, and then they go all the way out to Govardhan, and there they raise a flag for worshiping the Lord Indra, and they do offerings. A few years down the road, this is going to be the beginning of the Govardhan Puja ceremony. So they're gone. Nanda Maharaj isn't there, and Balaram isn't there either. He's gone off to Upananda's home, and they've gone over there for a visit for the day. So Krishna really feels abandoned. If Rohini were here, this would never happen. If Balaram were here, it would have never happened. And that's right, when Balaram comes back, Krishna won't even talk to him. He said, "You left me high and dry. If you were here, this would have never happened." So, Hare Krishna. Okay, we've got 20 minutes before Prasad.
What happens next?
Come tonight, I can't. It's just so much. There's a lot. And it's very, very extraordinary. It's sort of the unfolding of this ultimate loving relationship between mother and son. Ladies want to know how to be the ideal mother. Says, of course, your son may not appreciate it. And nowadays, in modern say, because when Krishna did not, he got up, he had, you know, he was able to drink a little milk. Then she left. Then he splattered that yogurt he didn't eat. Then he went into the storehouse and he ate a little there and then made a mess. Then went out and fed the monkeys. Then he got tied down, and she left him tied down. And it was afternoon, it was evening by the time Nanda Maharaj brought him back and fed him. So he was 3 years old, and he wasn't fed from 7 in the morning until like 5 or 6 in the evening. And nowadays, they call this CPO. I think you got a problem over here with this gopi. Anyway. And he was hungry, of course. But his cowherd boyfriends, they brought him. They brought him some snacks from home. He says, "I'm tied down here to this. You gotta go home and get me something." He says, "Well, we're gonna get in the same trouble as you got." He says, "No, your mother's up my place cleaning up. You're out there trying to clean up. So it's all right." So at least then he gets something from home. But he doesn't really get a meal until nighttime. And then, of course, one thing is tying Krishna down, but there's the whole issue of these two trees having fallen, and they could have fallen on him. So Mother Yashoda is extremely psycho. She won't show her face. She just hides in her room. And Krishna plays, he pouts. Rohini can't get her to go, can't get him to go to her, and this goes on for 3 days. Until another Maharaj uses some psychology on his son, and then Krishna breaks his mind and he goes to Yashoda and brings her. Unless he brings her, she won't come. So for 3 days she's fasting. These trees could have fallen on my son. Ananda Maharaj, Nastasis, he's there and he uses diplomacy. He says, "Son, your mother has not been eating all this time. And some of the ladies say she may pass away just from starvation." And Ananda Maharaj says, "Actually, it will fit her right. And if you tell me, actually, I'll go there and beat her." And as soon as Krishna hears that, he says, "No. You can't do that." He grabs his hand and says, "No, you can't touch my mother." And then he runs in. And then he brings her out. So it's a wonderful, that part of the Leela. Maharaj Sri Anjit Goswami describes how that takes place. So most of the acharyas stop after the trees fall to give real elaboration. So I see there's a lot of action going on over there. And we have these books, devotees, if they want, and they're available. I don't know who's doing it. Prashanas usually doing it, and I'd be happy to sign them if that's of any value. Seems like people consider it valuable. The real nectar is the lila, and what is the nectarian lila? Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Damodar ki jai, Yashoda Damodar ki jai, Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Shri Gaurinathai ki jai.
Okay, you better, since it's raining outside.
Hare Krishna, so,
I gave you back the piece, right?
Yeah, so I just want to thank Shivram very much for